This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court, everybody. We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by the lowly. Don't get too into it. Bailiff Jake Hurwitz.
What's up, everybody?
And then we've got joining us this week our friend Danielle Radford.
Hi, hello. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, that was nice.
I am. I'm so excited.
It went from us insulting Jake to you just being so sincere and sunshine.
Well, now that you all have told me that, like, you know.
Yeah, you're excited to insult Jake.
I'm excited to insult Jake. Yeah. Now
but
I'm
you
don't.
You
it.
Can't do that yet. Not until you swear in.
Okay.
As a justice.
There is decorum.
I got it.
Would you kindly read the oath?
I, Danielle Radford, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players as well as the DMs against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation of my own volition, and that I will well and faithfully embark upon this noble pursuit of justice, so help me gods.
Yes.
Welcome.
Clean.
Welcome, Justice Rad.
And with that, you can be really mean to me now.
Yeah. Whoa, woof, I was just waiting. Yeah, this is great. I was mentioning, I think, I love how I'm about to say, like, some people might know this. No, they don't. No one knows who I am. there was a time when I was a paralegal, and there was also a time when I worked for ALJs, which is administrative law judges, when I was living up in Seattle.
Yeah.
So that I would be like their assistant. I would help them with like cases and like writing out orders and stuff. And so it feels really good to like be on this side of it. Although I do, and I do think that that means, so are you a bailiff or paralegal in this, or assistant?
You know, I'm so much. This.
The thing is I am just a bailiff.
We don't know anything. Like a four-time but disgraced and disbarred judge.
He's risen
and fallen from judge.
I ascended in Boston, then I right. was disbarred.
Yeah, we keep giving him second chances.
I think that same thing happened.
It's on us, honestly.
Oh, I want that Hulu documentary. Give it to me.
The rise and fall of bailiff.
The rise and fall, and rise and fall, and fall again,
and fall again.
He keeps catch me if you canning in different states.
And let's see which way I go this week. Hear ye, crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, Tanner, and Radford presiding. And I'm so excited to see what kind of legal expertise you can bring to our first case.
Yes.
From Gabagoobling.
To all our own.
Venerable justices and their trusty sidekick, Bailiff Boy, I present to you the case of the noxious fart.
Oh, God.
Okay.
We're
starting strong.
Yeah, let's go.
A few Hogliday seasons ago, I DM'd a low-level New Jersey-themed one-shot for some friends, where the party had to journey through treacherous barren pines to wrest a powerful gubernatorial artifact from the hands of the evil ogre, Christophus Christian.
Okay.
The party took a long rest, and I asked them to describe their morning routine to encourage some role play. My older sister, playing a DeVito-esque gnome named Nart.
Nart is...
What do we think DeVito-esque refers to? Is it the stature?
Yeah.
Is it attitude?
I think it's ball.
I think it's hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Everything we picture when we picture DeVito-esque is correct.
Right. So this DeVito-esque gnome named Nart described how our friend's character, a sexy tiefling named Chad, ripped ass so loudly that it startled everyone awake.
Okay.
Our friend immediately argued that she couldn't just narrate that, indignantly insisting that it was completely out of character and Hot Chad would never do such a thing. As a compromise, I ruled that I would allow the fart if everyone within 5 feet, most of the party, made a con save against 1d4 poison damage.
What are we doing here?
Eventually, everyone agreed to take the damage and the session moved on. But it gets brought up every time someone mentions D&D, and our friend is still a little salty about it.
Anytime someone mentions D&D.
Like, ever?
Talking about this fart.
I bring up how I railroaded someone into farting.
Anytime someone brings up the letter D, they immediately just start farting.
Talk about my DeVito-esque gnome.
I asked the court, was I correct to honor my sororal bonds, or should I have protected Chad's sexy dignity?
Okay, so this is the DM being like, another player says, it would essentially be like if Moonshine was like, what do I do this morning? Yeah, Beverly rips ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I smell another person's fart.
Yeah. It'd be one thing if the DM was like, roll a constitution saving throw to not fart in your sleep. I guess that's, you could consider that a joke, right. A crass one that kind of sucks, but you could do that. But just narrating that someone else farts is weird.
I mean, it's
this
not.
This is fart railroading. Let's face
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right? This is fart railroading. It's PC railroading, yeah. Which we rarely
which is even worse, arguably. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think like you can do reverse DM railroading where you just like say that something exists and then the DM will say yes or no. Sure. Usually no.
Yeah. The concession of like, I'll allow this fart if you take damage.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no. It really doesn't make any sense.
Maybe then that PC also gets one. It's like, okay, if you could make me fart, then like, also get that you just burped disgustingness into my like mouth.
But it sounds like Sexy Chad still was unhappy and they're still salty to this
day. I think that like, the DM said, okay, I'll let you say that happened if you all take damage, almost assuming everyone was going to be like, I don't want to take damage, but then everyone saw Sexy Chad trying to not fart and was like, yeah, dude, I'll take damage. Is
this like, it's only 1d4.
Yeah, are 1d4. They trying to teach Sexy Chad a lesson? Like, do we need to get Sexy Chad a book like everybody poops?
Yeah, hot people do fart. Hot people do fart.
Hot people do fart.
But not so loudly. Like, Sexy Chad wouldn't have, like, to fart loud, I think you have to push it out.
He's sleeping, though.
Is there a sexy way to fart is the question.
The idea that...
On the toilet and you giggle.
Jake figured it out. Yeah,
there is the trick. If you want to be that person, you go into the bathroom, you take the towels, and then you use it to like
to muffle,
to
muffle
just slowly out. So it's like,
Okay, I gotta say that's way ruder. Fart in my toilet, not in my towels, friend.
Do not fart in our towels.
Not in the hand towels. Not in the hand towels. What are we, barbarians?
As long as there's a hamper there, you can fart in the hamper, that's fine.
Everyone's got like one like backup hand towel.
Yeah. You go backup hand towel.
You go to
for the
hamper,
guests that have to
straight
fart.
Straight in the hamper.
Can I suggest the most polite way to fart would be to take your pants down and do it into a wind going away from
anyone. Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
That's just smart like majestic. Fart.
Yeah.
Or maybe
fart, like a ritual too.
Bare assed fart out the window into the wind. That's
really good.
That's number one.
On the highway.
Yeah.
On that's the highway. Just getting whipped. That's just all getting confused with a
and
bunch
then there's
of...
all the gasoline
yeah,
and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Because I do, I mean, look, obviously you can't railroad someone else into farting, but also I do feel like there is a lesson that has to be learned here. I'm also wondering what else Sexy Chad has done where everyone at the table is like, I 100% will take damage for you to not do whatever the fuck it is that you're doing right now for like 2 seconds.
Well, they're playing the hot character. Right, his name's Chad.
It's interesting because everyone does fart. So you can't be like, my character doesn't fart.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I was.
Like, well, no, he can.
I was fully like, this PC is so wrong to make the other PC fart. And then as soon as Danielle was like, well, Sexy Chad needs to realize hot people fart, I'm like, damn,
Hot
people normalize farting. Yeah. Hot.
But this is not the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
You can't railroad a fart. And
right,
I think we gotta put that in the precedent.
I think adding the poison
that's true.
Makes it even less hot.
Could Sexy Chad now weaponize their own farts in the future based on the
He seems absolutely not into it.
Do you think DM should have done like a D4 of like temp HP? Like this fart actually smells so amazing that it gives you an aura. Because that's at least
we need to move on. We need to move on.
Their farts don't smell.
Okay, but what if there's an inverse? I don't actually have like firsthand experience with this. What if it's kind of like a picture of Dorian Gray, but with hot people's farts?
Yeah.
What if all just the nastiness that's not happening in their face is going into their farts?
Oh. Yeah.
And they actually have the most rank ones.
Or there's just a painting of them farting that smells really bad.
Just constantly like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's my painting in the attic. I'm sorry. Your house just smells so bad.
It's not a meth lab.
I painted this with rotten egg tempura.
Okay, so we do agree that Chad does need to learn that hot people fart. However, this was not the way to do it.
At the DM's
this was not the way to do it.
Right.
PC railroading. So we are against this
PC NSDN?
Yeah, we're against the DM
DeVito-esque PC.
Unfortunately,
we're against NART.
Yeah,
it feels bad.
Like, I feel like the DM, my assumption is they were trying to give the players an out. So I think I'm only ruling against the DeVito-esque
DM allowed the players to run wild.
Yeah.
You gotta at some point be like, you can't narrate what someone else did.
Is there something kind of endearingly pure, though, about someone who really wants to play a D&D character that's so hot and doesn't fart?
It's very naive. Yeah. It's very like...
It's Arthurian in a way. It's just like, yes, I have never farted.
I
never
am
once.
So pure.
I'm pure of ass.
Virgin cheeks.
It's like Princess and the Pee. Like, instead of not being able to feel the pee, like, he can't feel when he has to fart. Well, and that would also, that is a reason why he would fart while he's sleeping.
Right,
you're holding it in all day long.
Right.
That's a really good
you
one.
Finally unclench but that's, no, I when think you hit REM.
Yeah, sleep is like the true final frontier. Like, if you can hold in the farts while you sleep and like, and remain pure, if your ass can remain pure in the eyes of God, then I think that that is truly the test.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
what's
Chad, obviously.
Hotter than being pure in the eyes of God?
Chad needs to learn how to be that vulnerable, but this probably isn't.
This is not the set. It's not the set. Okay. And that's why I think you have to have our fartrit of Dorian Gray in your in your attic.
Oh, you have to put a
fart.
Fun.
You have to put a fart painting in your attic.
In your attic? You don't want it in the living room?
I mean, it's in the book, it's in the attic, right?
Be in the living room, but it could be like covered. And everyone's like, what's behind that?
You're going to need a mechanism behind the painting. There's going to be a small slit where the ass is, and you're going to have a balloon that inflates and uninflates so that it is like constantly.
We have to move on.
Caldwell is
we
an artist.
We have to move
you
on.
Can handle that.
It's called mixed media. You just invented farting
so
painting.
Ordered.
So ordered, so farted.
I was born too late. I was born too late.
Our next case comes from Amanda Kay.
Yes. Sorry, please. I'm on the phone with the Met, and they said they wanted
so
to
ordered.
We have to move on. But you have to take this phone call.
Yeah, so ordered. Right.
May it please the court. My name is Amanda. I'm a college student in upstate New York, and I've been playing in a campaign with three other girls from school since September. My case is about some drama that took place in real life and is bleeding into our game.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Our party is pretty standard. I play a barbarian, and two of my friends, let's call them Apple and Banana.
So pretty distracting.
Yeah. Yeah. Apple, banana.
We're not going to be able to handle this, unfortunately.
Yeah, sorry.
We may have to
Caldwell, Jake, and Emily are not going to be able to handle this.
Let's just do Fartrid and Banana's Attic. I don't even know if they're to blame. But we'll have to do that and move on. Apple and Banana play a cleric and wizard, respectively.
Okay.
To keep things brief/anonymous, Banana got broken up with recently.
God damn it. Here we go.
And Apple said she saw our DM, who we'll call Blueberry, making out with him at a party.
Whoa.
What's the boyfriend's name? Let's call it
Orange.
Let's call him Pear.
Okay, like that. Yeah.
Making out with Pear at a party. Hosted by a mutual friend we all share, who we can call Pineapple.
Sorry, is this an episode of VeggieTales?
I would watch VeggieTales if this is what happened.
The VeggieTales are very religious. They don't make out at parties.
It really...
This is why this is fruit. They never fart. We do make out at parties.
It's all blended into a smoothie for me. I can't differentiate.
Secular parables is VeggieTales.
Larry the Cucumber has never farted.
I feel like there's so much association with all like blueberries and bananas and stuff that it would arguably be less distracting if it was just like Rebecca and Sarah.
Right. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Those names are much different to me than like Blueberry and Banana. I'm instantly just like, okay.
Right. All right. Well, Apple's
I like to cheat,
God,
cheat with apples and bananas.
Okay. So Blueberry, ultimately the names don't matter. It's just that the DM is making out with one of the player's exes.
Named Pear.
Pear.
Yeah.
Stop.
Pineapple is making out with Pear.
It doesn't
even
matter.
Broke up with Blueberry.
There are players. So
the party was
just
at Pineapple's house. Pineapple really isn't even that involved.
It doesn't matter whose house it is. DMs are making out with players' exes.
You do want to remember that name, Pineapple, because it comes back.
Okay.
Wait, is Pineapple the original?
No. Pineapple is just where the party took place.
Oh, my God.
Pineapple hosted a party.
Okay. Got it.
Where Blueberry...
Pineapples are actually where a symbol Blueberry of hospitality.
Made out with Pear. What the fuck does Banana have to do with this? And
it's
Apple?
Banana's X.
Banana's Apple. Who the fuck is Apple?
Apple is just the cleric.
Why
is Apple
involved? Why the fuck is Apple in this story?
Because they're at the table, Mark. Fine. There's no proof that this kiss took place. But okay. both oh. me and Banana make, yeah. trust that Apple isn't lying. Oh, Apple actually
oh,
saw
Apple
the kiss.
Saw Apple's it. The witness. Apple's
the witness. Goody Apple saw. Goody Apple saw it all.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all my right. God.
Our most recent
that
session.
That is actually beautiful. The cleric witnessing an injustice Ooh. And having to yeah. be like, you know what? I am a cleric. I must speak the truth.
Wow. Yeah. Because the wizard has to have this knowledge.
Yeah. yeah.
Our most recent session was tense. Blueberry, that's the DM for
yeah, we know,
score,
we know.
Didn't know what we knew about the party.
Oh.
Nobody felt like role-playing, and things almost came to a head when she was describing a busy tavern, and Banana mumbled, sounds like Pineapple's house, a little too loud. Justices, I'm not asking you to solve college hookup drama, though we can try.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, but we're going to parse this out.
I think that is what I'm going to focus on. Yeah,
but how do you deal with interpersonal conflict at the table? D&D is a social game, and I just don't know if I can handle another passive aggressive
Yeah, that's session. Tough. I feel like we got to solve this before we come to the table. Like, you can't show up super mad at each other.
Yeah. I think the second you knew, you guys had to reach out to Pineapple Pear.
No, Pineapple's house.
It's just Pineapple's house.
Pineapple's house. Yeah. Pineapple's okay. not even playing.
It was... I think that you guys needed to reach out to Blueberry and be like, hey, this is what's being said. Is yeah. it true? If it's mm-hmm. true, you probably want to come clean.
Either you
yeah.
can tell Banana or we will.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah, that's, yeah. that's yeah. it. That is how you
order of operations. You have a chat. Hey, Blueberry. We want to let you know that that Apple saw this.
Yeah. At Pineapple. We saw you kissing at Pineapple's
house.
Pineapple's
we saw you kissing Bear at Pineapple's
yeah.
house.
Yeah.
We are from VeggieTales. We're very religious, so I don't even know why we're there.
I hope
you guys
don't
even
know what a kiss is.
Yeah, I don't even know what a kiss is. But you got to tell Banana about this, or I'm going to tell Banana about this.
Yeah, I think that like when situations like this arise, you just have to have one bad day of texting. You've just got to be like hunkered down by your phone, like figuring this shit out.
Because this session was doomed. You even said so yourself, like no one felt like role playing. Well, why did no one feel like role playing? Because everyone was staring at everyone being like, there's a huge secret in the middle
the conversation
of the room.
That needs to happen.
This banana needs to be peeled.
Also, let's face it, Pineapple's party sounds a lot more interesting than most D&D dramas, right?
Because
this is real drama.
Yeah.
This is a real story. Yeah. Everyone wants to get to the bottom of this.
Do you think, is there any way to do like offer catharsis via D&D for this situation?
No.
For
sure. No. This is absolutely a conversation that needs to happen in real human life.
Roll for insight if Blueberry is a big bitch.
I am very curious about Blueberry, and maybe Blueberry's name will be absolved. There's a sincere apology that could patch this over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, like, maybe you mistook and there's somebody who looks like maybe they were just both wearing blue. Like, who knows? But yeah, I agree. You've got to deal with it. Yeah. And I think doubly, because normally this kind of thing I do feel like often falls on the DM because you're kind of like the rules person at the table.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, the DM can't like mediate. They have to kind of like...
They're absolutely part of it.
Yeah, they have to like... But that means they have to like... You have to have this conversation.
I still think that the people to be sentenced is maybe the people who didn't tell the DM, hey, this is all out in the open.
Right.
Because you're the one, because the DM doesn't know it's out in the open. So the DM is just running a session, not knowing. Not knowing. I mean, like, it's, I don't want to sentence you with the worst thing in the world. Maybe you just invent farting painting.
Well, no, I invented that.
Sentence you to like have a conversation before your next game.
Although I will say it couldn't have been that dramatic for everyone to be able to, because it sounds awkward.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it doesn't sound like, it's not like people were jumping over the table like fighting each other.
That's my thing, because this doesn't sound like it's a case of like they had been together for years upon years and they had just broken up
Maybe
like Friday and then Saturday they
Good
all went to the
pair.
Pineapple under the sea party or whatever and like make out. It doesn't sound like that's what it was.
Yeah. Is that a SpongeBob and Back to the Future reference?
I did.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I want to go to that
she's
prom.
A justice, man.
I only speak in Sponge references, by the way. Just a warning.
I think part of this is I can't
can't figure out if I'm ruling too harshly or too kindly by being just like, I have no idea to get how to get into a college mindset. I'm just much too old. Yeah. I have no idea.
I think the drama is eternal, though.
My only thing is just that the DM didn't know, so they couldn't have prevented this. There's only like, there's only a couple people that could have prevented the awkward session. Mm-hmm.
Do DMs have a responsibility not to hook up with their players?
Yes, for sure. Yes, for sure, but we don't know for sure that it happened yet.
Right, Apple witnessed
no one
it.
Knows.
No oh, everyone
no
should have
one
had a
has
chat.
Talked right. to the DM.
Again,
the DM's got to talk to Blueberry. Or deny, and then if they confirm, confirm and apologize and see if that make good mm-hmm. can allow the session to move forward. Yeah. Is there a world where the college isn't Skidmore? Doesn't it just feel like this is a Skidmore thing?
Because also, like, I feel like it has to be a small college to be like, already someone from my D&D group is hooking up with my ex. Like, that's a, we're talking like 1,000 people per
actually,
year.
If it's a D&D group, it could be at Bard.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. No, like, I immediately, I went to a arts conservatory. Yeah. Yeah. It was quite small. And I was like, oh yeah, this sounds like my drama department.
Or Vassar. This could be a Vassar problem.
Major Vassar problems.
Okay, you know what?
Oh yeah, somebody like being in their house, like owning a house. Yeah.
Let's send them to transfer to Vassar. Because if they're not at Vassar, they should be a bastard.
What about this? Since we had so much fun with all of the fruit names, why? How about you have to have a serious conversation with the rest of the table, but you have to
be
call everyone by the names that you said here. So you have to be like, to make this a little simpler, we're going to call you Blueberry.
In an effort
this is gonna
to
be
sort
Apple.
Of like depersonalize
we're at Pineapple's
this charge
house.
Situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you need to bring sort of like a fruit platter and be like, we're going to do some light role play to kind of figure out. We're going to talk out your feelings here.
Instead of an olive branch.
Blueberry, you take these blueberries here. Apple, why don't you tell us what you saw Banana X doing with Blueberry?
And then you all make a smoothie afterwards.
You know what, though? If in this situation, just to get into the nitty gritty of college drama, I would not rat out Apple for seeing
right.
the kiss.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I would say, we heard, I don't want to blow up anyone's spot. I just want to tell you that this is the rumor. Confirm or deny.
Or Apple has to be like, I saw you.
If Apple's comfortable, that's great. The fact that it's Apple the cleric, I'm picturing just the sweetest, nicest person being like, oh, what if I see you?
Yeah. I would love to not throw a grenade into our friend group. That'd be great.
Okay, so we sentence you to a fruitful conversation.
Oh, yes.
There it is.
Wow.
Ordered. There we go. Our next case comes from Jonathan T. Jonathan writes, to the distinguished judges Axford, Murphy, Tanner, Radford, and the side hustling bailiff Jake, thank you. I present to you the case of the Hogladay ambush.
Okay.
It was a cold Christmas and peak COVID lockdown 2020 when our regular D&D group, along with some additional players, met for a festive caper one shot over Zoom.
Cool.
Okay.
Our DM told us to make new characters, the only guideline being they all were supposed to be thieves or bad guys. The session proceeded in high spirits. Everyone was enjoying the festive shenanigans in what was an especially difficult time. Quickly into the adventure, we realized we were, in fact, storming the Home Alone house.
What is the good ending here for these characters?
I also want to know, like, the moment they realized, was it that soundbite from the TV?
Or was it, like, when they knocked over the little statue out front?
Oh, wow.
I was thinking, though, what's the soundbite that Kevin...
Oh, keep the chain.
Yeah, I'm like, was that the soundbite?
Yeah, pump your guts full of lead.
Yeah.
During the game, we found the encounters dull. So myself and two other players hatched a plan over chat to betray the party at the end. After all, we were evil thieves. So upon completion of the adventure, treasure found, we drew swords and spells and attacked. This quickly went disastrously in our favor after the DM's wife raised her magically embalmed firearm and proceeded to shoot another PC directly in the face. We downed two of the six other party members on our surprise round. Immediately, the rest of the table looked shocked and slightly confused. Whilst a few saw the funny side, one player in particular took great offense, stating, quote, this is the only thing I've been looking forward to all Christmas, and you've ruined it.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
He then proceeded to storm out of frame and started packing up in an outrage.
Packing up?
Where are you? He's like, that's it. I'm violating lockdown.
They they probably mean packing up their dice, yeah, but I really yeah. did picture yeah. them like packing up their room.
Yeah. Well, did you get like a D&D hotel room? Like, yeah. I'm going to treat myself.
I'm it's not quarantining anymore.
I'm going to Florida. Straight to a basketball game.
Please tell me, honorable judges, did this individual overreact, or are we truly the Grinches that stole his Christmas?
Wow. I look, lockdown, no one was normal. No one, I think we just have to start by saying no one was normal. And uh-huh. also, so add on top of that, like no one expects PvP yeah. on a really chill Christmas. I think it's hilarious. Yeah. I think you have to know your table. And I also think that during lockdown, there's like so much other stuff happening that people might not be talking about. It was really bad. So like, you don't know what else Mr. Pack-em-up had going on.
Right. I do love that. Like,
It wasn't the only thing that bothered
we
him.
We don't know
it
was just going on.
And now his name is Mr. Pack-em-up. So.
Raspberry Pack-em-up.
He was getting chased by ghosts. So
this is, I'm of two minds of it. Because on the one hand, I'm like, it's just a one shot.
Yeah.
If it were me and other people killed me, I'd just be like, what the fuck? And kind of think it was funny.
Yeah.
But like Danielle was saying, you do kind of need to know like who you're at the table with.
Yeah.
And PvP, I do think you kind of need to make it clear that that's what it is up top. Because some people get like tables get really tense when there's PvP.
Yes. Yeah.
For like especially good reasons. It's like,
and like you, and you, I think the sin to me is like sidebarring with certain people and being like, let's betray everyone. Why did you choose certain people to betray everyone with?
Probably felt worse to have multiple people attack them rather than one person.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because that's also like, oh, am I the person no one likes? It's like, and there are games that are specifically meant to like have that element that were very big during that time. There's like Among Us. There's like, you know, there are other games that you could have been playing during that time where you could have gotten that if you just wanted to like attack your friend.
I think that doing PvP secretly as a group just brings up a very strong feeling of, is there a group text I'm not on?
It's just like my nightmare.
And during lockdown, everyone's feeling left out.
Yeah. Do you guys have another thread?
This is blueberry pineapple apple level stuff. Is what's happening here. Mm-hmm. There's also the element of, I think it's frustrating with like surprise rounds and stuff like that, because this happens. And so it'd be one thing if like somebody hits you and then you're like, oh, okay, cool. I use my character and I hit you back or whatever. And then, like, even if your character dies, it's fine. But this, like, calculated, like, cool, we attack them. I get an attack, they get an attack. They don't do anything on their turn because they're flat-footed.
They fly 5 feet back and they trigger the paint can, which hits them in the face.
Yeah,
they're kind of like, they are left with no way for it to be kind of like, we attack you and then now you get to be in on the fun. There's kind of no way for the other people to be
You're just ambushed in a way that's not, I don't know. So
I just think there's other ways to like make fun for yourself while playing D&D without like betraying everything that the DM has set up and like the party integrity. The DM, you know, they went through all the trouble of like translating all the traps from Home Alone into like D&D encounters and hazards. I bet there was a giant tarantula up in there somewhere.
Pizza buffs.
Oh god, cheese pizza buffs.
Yeah.
There's just so much. Yeah, like that scary furnace is probably like a fire method or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I gotta give it up for this DM.
Yeah,
it really
it's really fun. That's a really fun
I think
idea.
The surprise rounds are the real killer here because that makes it not fun.
Yeah, I think it's the surprise rounds, the group coordination, and the time in which it happens.
Yeah, someone like attacking you once, just being like, haha, sneak attack, and shooting me in the back for like 35 damage. That makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Four like unanswered turns before me just makes me go, I'm bored. Right.
Why did I play this entire time?
I don't know why you like me less than the other people.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm
It's funny when Harry slaps Marv, but if he like just stabs him 10 times.
Yeah,
while Kevin watches.
Yeah, let's leave the Home Alone for this.
Yeah.
If the two burglars get frustrated at each other and bop each other on the head, that's fun.
That's hilarious.
And take out a gun, because apparently someone did. Marv just like shoots him in the face, and it's like, now the movie becomes
the sticky bandit. Fun.
Although it hypothetically could have turned in if this one person who was like, this is hurtful for me, had retreated deeper into the house. Perhaps they could have used some of Kevin's traps against them and done their own own 1v party.
Right.
Ooh. But yeah. I mean, that's asking too much of them.
Yeah, you can't ask everyone to go into Die Hard all of a sudden without knowing that was what was happening.
Especially when this person clearly needed to move.
So are we all unanimous? Are we against
the group?
We're against
that did PvP.
The PvPers.
Yeah.
Though I do think it's funny. I do think it's funny, and I get why you guys thought it'd be fun. I think that it just wasn't the moment for it.
Right.
I think Mr. Pack-em-up is an overreaction, but I do think it's not entirely fun. If anyone does like five attacks on me as like a bit, I'm like, it was funny the first one.
Right. Yeah. I guess the overreaction is kind of what makes this like interesting, but for any time that you do this, you're actually probably hurting people quietly too.
Yeah.
So it's good to get out of this like this level of thinking.
Right. I think
there's plenty of people that wouldn't pack up and yell, but they would just be like,
I think, just nice. Carry that resentment like right. silently cool. into like the next thing.
I'm sad for the rest of the day.
When they first said I shoot Murph, I would laugh and be like, what? And then they do their damage. And then once the DM says it's Murph's turn, he's surprised, he does nothing, I would just go, huh. Okay. cool.
So
I like everyone at this table a little less, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'm just going to sit here for the next 20 minutes while whatever this is resolves.
I look at Buzz's porn, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so we got to sentence these PvPers. What, how about sticky bandit style, have to get hit in the head with a shovel? Your neighbor has to hit you with a shovel.
Wow. Yeah.
But like the kind where you don't die. Like the kind of shovel.
This
that
is
you
a, hit it's people a, with a fun bop it's gonna, to the head.
You'll have a loud noise. Worst like things, a hard iron shovel.
Worst things happen to them in that house. A shovel to the head is pretty good.
That's true.
Not bad.
Although it was a metal shovel for sure.
They could have to walk up to make a D&D theme. They could have to walk up a stairs that have D4s.
Would you rather get hit by a shovel?
Kevin McAllister.
Let's do that. We'll do the Legos, but and the broken glass, and instead,
but it's D4.
That's good.
And they do have to buy that guy a bunch of cheese pizzas now.
And don't pay for them. or rather, just like he did pay for them.
No, I think he
pays for them.
Does he?
He has Buzz's money.
From
the porn box.
Right. Yeah. But then he still plays the
recording.
Recording.
Right. Because he does. He says, "Keep the change, you filthy animal." Because he doesn't have enough money. Enough Home Alone lore.
Moving on. Mike C. writes to the illustrious judges, but especially Justice Murphy, this is actually an update. Who I am afraid will once again turn against me when he hears my update to a previous case.
Oh no.
I bring an update to the permissive Anchorman DM.
What happened in this case?
You downed one of the players, if I remember correctly, and then the player just decided that their character actually wasn't dead.
Yeah,
and just
they didn't want to roll a new character for a one shot.
And you
for
just
an
allowed
Anchorman
it.
Themed one shot.
Yeah.
Oh, for an Anchorman themed one shot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh. Which I was already. So the reason they're saying I have a feeling Justice Murphy's going to be mad at me, I was already mad at them for making Anchorman themed. Yeah.
So Murph is on record saying Anchorman is fine.
I don't dislike Anchorman.
Because he doesn't like it enough.
Okay. Yeah, this is highly controversial for some reason.
I bring an update to the permissive Anchorman DM case from a while back. Mm-hmm. To answer a question, we played this game in college when we were freshmen in 2009. I think
that's been a lot of details. That's Anchorman on DVD years for sure.
But that is not the only update I bring. We got together this Christmas for a reunion.
No.
And we played another Anchorman one-shot.
There's no excuse for it.
Same characters, same DM. The only difference, I walked to the DM before the one-shot and gave him Justice Murphy's advice. Kill a PC early and keep them dead. Don't just let them kip up because they don't feel like rolling a new character. This happened almost exactly like it did in college. Our rogue Brian Fantana was killed by an owlbear.
No, Brian.
And the DM narrated how we, his friends and fellow news anchors, watched his soul leave his body forever. At first, this was met with silence from the table and then uproarious laughter as all of our characters had to immediately begin to grieve and process Brian Fantana's death. That player rolled a new news anchor, champion fighter Veronica Corningstone, and we finished the rest of the one-shot and had a great time reconnecting. I thank the court for their recommendations and once again beg Justice Murphy's forgiveness for making him hear about Anchorman.
Okay. I'm glad that they enjoyed their 15-year reunion.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Wild.
That's really impressive.
Honestly, it is truly. I mean, I laughed out loud. It's very funny to do a lighthearted Anchorman one-shot and go out and kill people. That's funny.
Yeah. You double down on a bit. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah,
can't fault you for that.
That's a gorgeous. That's so this, a gorgeous this court update. Helps people,
technically, you know? This is my fault. And
all right, Godspeed to you. Our next case comes from Sophia. Sophia writes to the honorable, succulent, and juicy justices.
Yeah,
and the dry, unseasoned bailiff.
They didn't even know I was here.
I have been engaged in a year-long debate with my other D&D friends on a specific question. What type of damage does drowning deal? This arose from a theoretical conversation, but since has become a fixture in our average session, this is especially relevant as one of our party members is a barbarian and argues that it's bludgeoning from hitting the water and water pressure.
Oh, because they don't want to take bludgeoning. They want to have
this. Yes, okay. And thus she should take half damage while drowning. Please, Supreme Crit, set official precedent for this issue so my table and undoubtedly countless others can end this debate with word from an official authority.
I don't think it's bludgeoning. It's because certainly I think not. That what it is losing oxygen, right?
Yeah.
Oxygen decreasing from your blood vessels.
Yeah.
It's like suffocation. It's asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation. Mm-hmm. So what type of damage would that be? So would it be like acid damage?
I think it's force damage because it's squeezing your lungs. Ooh. Right?
And the pressure too, when you start to sink.
Isn't there water damage? Is there water damage?
I don't know. I think that's
Final Fantasy. No, there's not. Yeah.
Water damage?
Yeah, water damage.
Hey.
It's psychic damage. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm dying.
Oh, this,
my
basement took water damage.
A Reddit thread from 4 years ago say water elementals deal bludgeoning damage.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Okay. That is in the
But that's like getting smacked by a wave. That's
Getting smacked by a wave is totally different than drowning.
Totally different than drowning.
Yeah.
I think
force damage is interesting.
Force damage feels good. The only reason I would say acid is just because it's like I would imagine as you're losing oxygen that it's something about your blood is becoming
like that's right.
Almost not.
It's a chemical. Yeah. It's almost a chemical.
I do think almost when you this is again is another thing that happens. I feel like a lot in cases and like arguments at the table is like we try to take real world things and try to figure them out like D&D wise where it's like in the book it just tells you how to handle it, which is like it's not damage, right? It's like however many minutes you can last is based on your con modifier, I think is it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you don't even take...
You don't even take it. They might have had a homebrew thing of like when you're drowning, you're taking
taking a certain amount of damage.
Mm-hmm. I think at the very least, you have to look at the spirit of this and you can't say that it's bludgeoning damage.
I don't think bludgeoning makes sense.
Yeah, no. you can't be taking half drowning damage.
Caldo has his finger up.
Could I also posit necrotic damage?
Okay.
Because oxygen is how you live. And if you're sapping away oxygen via suffocation, that's basically you're dying. So it's necrotic.
Like that too.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that force damage would be appropriate for if you're drowning and you're taking pressure. Like if you're getting deep in
Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking with force damage because once you start doing that, because it does start being pressure. I really like your chemical argument. Mm. I wish I was a person that studied the smart subjects.
Some scientist is out there being like, Emily, oxygen and blood have nothing to do with each other. And then I'm like, cool, I didn't know that. I thought the magic school bus taught me that.
Like, what did Stanislavski say about?
It's not oxygen and blood, it's just little guys in there. There's little guys in submarines, Emily. God.
Little guys.
Science has come so far.
It's all just little guys.
The magic school bus is real, we found out.
Everyone's got at least one school bus floating around in their body.
We all have a nano miss wrinkle.
Everyone farts and
The average human swallows 8 to 10 school buses per year.
Right. And they are full of children.
Yeah.
While you're sleeping.
Hot teachers.
But I think when we look at, you know, like barbarian rage, that's just kind of you have resistance to these type of damage. That's like an in-world justification for essentially like why you can fight with a shirt off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how you can be like a cool barbarian. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't drown or that you don't have to breathe or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And it is like reflected on your character sheet as a barbarian that you probably would last longer in the water because you probably have high con.
Yeah.
Because you would want to have high con. So I think this is more about constitution than it is about being a barbarian.
Uh-huh.
So I would say sort of the damage doesn't really matter, but if you really want an answer to this, I like necrotic. I like force.
Yeah. What are the other types of damage?
Acid, bludgeoning, cold, fire, force, lightning, necrotic, piercing, poison, psychic, radiant, slashing, and thunder.
Okay.
Okay, so maybe poison could also be if you're like,
oh yeah, because your blood is getting,
like, would blood without oxygen be poisonous? All right. Okay.
We're getting into the weeds.
Yeah.
Listen up, scientists. We don't know. We just know that it's not blood.
We just know it's not bludgeoning. We just know this.
The barbarian's trying to back into that to take half.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You've got high con.
It's a straw man argument. Yeah, we can't allow it.
Yeah.
How do we punish this barbarian? I'm down to drown them, but we can think about.
We could try. Ideas. We could say, is it really bludgeoning damage?
Let's see if you take half damage.
Let's do some Salem court shit up in this place.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll hit the barbarian with a shovel near a lake. And if you're immune to bludgeoning damage, you'll be okay.
There you go.
Because of the shovel. Yeah. That's real immune to bludgeoning damage. Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. We don't often kill people on this court. And maybe if
and
you're
I think
innocent,
we won't. Because you'll be in a rage. It's bludgeoning damage, the shovel. Mm-hmm. You'll just be near a lake.
Yeah, this really is witch trials.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Okay. Who have you have resistance to drowning?
Right. So ordered. Our next case comes from Alien Butt Puppet.
What?
Whoa.
Dear,
something we said on the show at some point?
I certainly
familiar.
Doubt it.
Mm. Something you said, maybe.
Dear sweet judges and Whittle Baywiff, I present the case of the Irish Catholic bard. Mm. My wife is a player in my campaign and plays a bard who willingly got turned into a vampire. Her very religious parents disowned her for it. The problem is, my wife insists that her parents are Irish Catholic and worship Jesus.
What?
I have suggested they could be Pelor or Lathander worshippers, but no, she absolutely will not back down, even after I allowed her hometown to be called Boston.
This is so okay.
Slippery slope.
This is your fault. This is your fault.
Your name in that Boston.
Yeah. It is your fault.
Yeah. It is your fault.
It is your fault.
Bravo. Not you, Sean. Judges, do I relent to my sweet wife and her insane demand, or do I stand my ground? You've already not stood.
You've
it.
Already not. You're on very shaky ground.
I await your tender judgment.
You're next to a lake, and somebody's and your wife's got a shovel.
I left the door unlocked, cracked it open a bit, and she weaseled her way in. How do I evict her?
This is a constant thing in D&D court where people are like, I would like to worship Catholic God. And you're like, what? Why?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is everyone's fault. There are no heroes in this story.
I will say, we all just read The Bright Sword, that Lev Grossman book, and like, they do talk about like God existing alongside like fairies and like old gods of Britannia and that. So like, maybe there's like
it
a way
has
to
be that world, like, though. You can't just be
it
like.
It would only be if you were comfortable. If you were comfortable, like being like, yeah, let's stat out Jesus.
It's a
slippery
slope.
I personally could see that being fun. Yeah. But also, you'd have to be like, it's is everyone at the table? I don't know where you stand.
Right.
Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
Make you comfortable, uncomfortable.
What is Jesus's challenge rating? We got to figure it out.
Right. As soon as you're like, okay, fine, they worship Jesus, but they're not a big part of the story, then your wife is just.
It really is.
I want to go visit my parents.
Yeah.
And then her actual parents just come into the room.
Yeah.
And they're playing at the table.
Okay, now I want to renounce vampirism and accept Jesus. And then your wife is playing a born again. And it's just like.
And then your wife breaks out a Bible. And the next thing you know, it's Bible study.
Yeah.
And then you're getting baptized somehow. And is that bludgeoning damage or what?
We do need to go back to what we said originally when we first heard it, which is that by allowing Boston.
Yeah.
You have sort of set all of this into motion.
Uh-huh. You kind of can't have Boston without Irish. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's just a lot of churches in Boston.
This is
them and Bill Burr. I don't know.
Yeah. I would
you
say.
You did invite the vampire into your house, and now you're
That's interesting. Very ironic. This vampire is in your home. I am kind of like, what was the exact wording of the question? Because I'm like, you shouldn't allow this, but also this is your fault.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Do I relent to my sweet wife and her insane demand, or do I stand ground?
No, and also you didn't stand your ground.
You know what you also could do? You could just reach out to other players and be like, would this make you uncomfortable? Because someone might be like, that actually would make me uncomfortable. In which case you say to your wife, actually another player's kind of uncomfortable with it. I bet she backs down immediately.
Right.
The DM also might just be like, I don't want to like run like a campaign where the pantheon is like Pelor and Jesus. Like it just might be where, although you did make a town called Boston, which
is it, do you kind of want to know about the world you've created for Boston?
I'm a little curious.
Is there a baseball team?
Is there a couple academic institutions there? Because if so, you're feeding this.
Do they hate those who yank?
No. Wow.
How much HP do you get from Dunkin' Donuts?
How would you say wizard in a Boston accent? Wizard.
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 Are you a wizard?
Are you a wizard?
Hey. See these fucking wizards.
You're a fucking wizard or something.
Look at these fucking wizards. No, okay, this wizard. Actually does. Okay. So we agree the Boston part of it rocks.
Wizards and bots.
Wizards and bots.
Wizards and bots combined.
Yeah.
It's actually great.
This actually rocks, unfortunately. Okay, so we agree you can have Boston and not have Jesus in your game necessarily.
Right. Because I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
I'm a fighter.
I mean, it's really good.
Because also think about like Pelor is fun to say in a Boston accent. Like, Pelor.
Yeah. So maybe you bring that to your wife. You say, like, think about how fun it would be to say Pelor constantly.
Yeah. It made me think of the guy, like, that viral video from forever ago when the guy was, he, like, was catching a fish and he was like, oh, my God, Pelor! It's Pelor! Do you see him? He's beautiful!
I don't know that video.
I think maybe you can go and you can be like, look, I allowed Boston, but it's, like, part of the world building and I changed the spelling a little bit. I made it Boston and it's T-I-N whatever. And so you're like, so I allowed that, but I can't allow this.
I can't allow Jesus.
Ultimately, you're doing way more work than she is. Say no to whatever the heck you don't want to play on.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I think once we did Boston accent saying wizards, I do think that Boston could fit in a fantasy world.
Oh, yeah.
So I am going back on that a little bit. So I guess we're sort of on the DM side.
Yeah.
Even though we do agree you let this go a little too far.
Yeah. Tell your wife to go to MIT and become an artificer.
Oh, there you go.
We're having too much fun. We're doing a Boston one shot. Set in Southie. Okay, so what's the punishment for this Bostonian wife?
She has to do the accent the whole time?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you say if you really, you wanted Boston so bad, you got to do the accent.
Yeah.
Wizard.
Perfect. So ordered.
Pisser.
Ordered.
Our next case comes from Philip E. Philip writes, to the venerated judges and the dishonored bailiff, thank you. I present the case of the devil versus smoke bombs. I was DMing a game for my brothers and their girlfriends in which they all chose the rogue class. Shortly in the campaign, when
for some reason, I just imagine this dude having seven brothers, and seven girlfriends, 14 people at the table.
14 rogues?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Imagine the sneak attack damage.
Devout Catholics in Boston.
Seven rogues for seven brothers.
Wow. All right. Shortly in the campaign, when asked how many smoke bombs a merchant had in his inventory, I made the mistake of saying, I don't know, like 50.
Yeah, you made a mistake.
Yeah. My older brother immediately said, great, I'll buy them all. On their next level up.
Smart.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
He's a wizard.
On their next level up, they all took the blind fighting feat. They proceeded to use them at the start of every combat, which, while annoying, was great fun as they sneak attacked their way through the Feywild. Cool. Wild.
Yeah.
However, we had a large argument, one encounter,
holy pololy,
that we still disagree on. While trying to close a corrupted portal in the Feywild, they were briefly transported to the Nine Hells and immediately attacked by devils.
Cool.
They did their usual and immediately filled the area with smoke bombs. However, all of the devils had magical true sight. I stated that would let the devils see through the smoke and negate any advantage or disadvantage. They disagreed, as the smoke was not magical and would affect their eyes like any other being. After some back and forth, I relented and granted them the advantage. Was I right in my initial ruling that devils living in hell would be able to see through smoke, considering, you know, hell and all?
Yeah.
I wait your ruling. Wow, Jesus in hell coming up a lot.
We are having a biblical episode. Yeah. I mean, my first thought is like, duh, devils can see through smoke.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
fire and brimstone. That's like their backyard.
That's their thing.
Yeah, right. That's the whole deal.
You basically gave them a technicality when you're like, they have true sight, they can see through
smoke.
Yeah,
then I didn't even think they didn't even need it.
Right. You could have just said your fallback argument and that would have been enough.
Do you want to look up true sight? Is that what you're looking up?
I was looking up to see if devils had resistance to fire, which I feel like would translate to smoke.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, okay. Cold, bludgeoning, piercing, slashing from non-magical attacks that aren't silver. This is the horned devil I'm looking at specifically.
Is there any other kind?
Oh, damage immunities, fire, poison. See, to me, I feel like I would rule that like if they're immune to fire, then like they can see through smoke. There's fucking smoke everywhere in the night.
Right. Yeah. I would absolutely agree with that.
Also, you're the DM. You're allowed to just be like, hey, everybody, in this one specific instance, you don't have your advantage. Yeah. It might be, this might be a little bit of a tough fight. That's okay, everybody. We're all going to be okay.
The definition of true sight is they can see in normal and magical darkness.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you're kind of right twice.
Yeah, you were correct twice.
You did allow yourself to get bullied by your brothers.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, was I right in my initial ruling? Yes, you were. So you were wrong to back down. So we're ruling against you.
Wow. I think the devils should be able to see through the smoke, especially if they have true sight. And also, it's fine. Like, you can just be as the DM and just be like, they can see you.
Yeah,
like,
put on sunglasses.
And hey, like, just as a person, you can stand up to your brothers sometimes.
Yeah.
Just like, just as a
But
just
there's
as
seven of them,
I know,
Danielle.
I understand.
And they all have girlfriends.
They all have girlfriends.
There's 14.
They're all sick chads. Yeah. They don't fart.
They have paintings that smell like ass.
My brother's girlfriends don't fart.
Never seen a fight.
Literally never seen a fight.
Immaculate.
Never seen her fight.
Yeah, you've never seen a fight.
I've been looking.
No green cloud.
You've got an immaculate ass.
All right, yeah, so we are sort of for this DM and that we think that your original ruling was correct, but we also are against you for backing down.
Yeah.
We're against you for backing down, but they're kind of saying like, was I right to say that? And we're like, yeah. So we're going to sentence your seven brothers and their seven girlfriends.
Do they have to break up, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Or switch.
They all switch. They all just like.
Just do like a round robin.
So it's like they all just move one to the left.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet. So now apples with blueberry
with pineapple.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. We can have like the ultimate irony. They love the fog so much. We sort of set up we throw like a smoke bomb in their home and they all stand across from each other and you just pick a random partner from across the room.
Yeah. That's fun.
Okay. I mean, the nieces and nephews and nibblings might get confused, but it'd be fun for the adults.
Yeah. You'll figure it out. Just accept Jesus and everything will be fine. Okay, so ordered. And now, actually, with that, we are going to step
speaking.
We're going to step into church. It feels like we've been there for a minute.
We've been there the whole time, I think.
We'll hear a confession. From Samuel W. Samuel writes, I come before the wise dice priest and the high-pitched altar boy. I don't know how I've fallen to this status of church. To bring a confession from a campaign from 2 years ago. I was DMing a party who made it to the final battle against the big bad, whose main ability was to temporarily steal spells and class abilities to use himself.
Ooh.
A fighter's action surge, a wizard disintegration spell, etc. During this final battle, Lewis, who is playing a Warforged cattle rancher named Ranch, was was about to attack the big bad and would certainly kill him if he hit. Unfortunately, Lewis cannot roll for shit. He has rolled back-to-back nat ones on at least six occasions.
Ooh.
He would be jealous of Caldwell's rolls. He, of course, failed to even hit the big bad. What's worse is that his adoptive father had just died before the battle and encouraged him to keep fighting and do the right thing.
Oh, wait.
Oh, the character, not his actual.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, same. Right.
Sorry.
Hard
he still kept his D&D game together.
Right. Yeah.
I'm still down to meet at 7, guys.
I might actually be early.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, wait, is everyone turning against me?
Yeah.
I'm moving. In an act of attempted kindness, I bumped up the villain's HP so that he would have another chance when his turn came around.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, during the extra turn of life, the BBEG used a stolen disintegrate spell to kill the party wizard, even going as far as to counterspell the wizard's counterspell.
Ooh.
Ranch did deal the finishing blow, and the wizard got a touching welcome into the afterlife with a former academic rival, but my actions still weigh heavy on me. P.S. We all still play together, but I've never told them about my HP meddling.
Yeah, take this to your grave. Take it to your grave.
The HP meddling. Yeah, take it to your grave, but this isn't really the HP meddling. It's going so hard. Not only did you cast one of the scariest spells, you also counterspelled.
Like, it's funny, too, to be like, the BBEG did this. I had no control over this situation. It's like, you've already cheated. You're like, all right, the BBEG is dead. We just want this narrative moment to happen. It's just like, you got to do a better job with the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. I feel like when you're like doing that, when you're like beefing the HP a little bit for like one last round, that's when your big bad acts like really desperately and does something stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, it really is so funny. That, like, we've seen so many cases of meddling the other way. Like, I weakened my bad guy.
Yeah.
And this one, it was like, oh, I beefed up their HP for the right reason, and then I counter
he cast power word kill on everyone.
I mean, he was
except
alive.
For it's my favorite person who I was beefing the HP for. Well, this is a confession, so this person is saying, so
you are forgiven.
You
take
are forgiven.
This to your grave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Take
you're
this
forgiven.
To your grave.
Just don't tell anybody.
Yeah, tell
but it does sound cool. The wizard got like a cool afterlife thing, especially like at the end of the campaign. Fun. Sometimes it's fun to have your character die.
Yeah,
then you get like sort of an epic conclusion to their story.
Yeah,
so this sounds all good. I would say for the future. If you're going to show favoritism towards one person, maybe don't kill someone else in the same turn.
Just lock that secret in a cold iron cage in your heart.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But so forgiven. Thank you all so much for everyone for listening. We're going to have something fun over on our Patreon. Danielle's a wrestling fan like me.
Ooh.
And we're going to be running a little battle royal one shot.
Oh my god.
A rumble, if you will.
Excited about.
Hell yeah.
I'm calling it the Toil Tumble.
The Toil Tumble.
Head on over to patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPUD. Don't sing yet. To listen to the Toil Tumble. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Thank you. Do I have anything? Oh, yeah. You can find me at all the places. I'm finally watching Severance. I'm very new in watching Severance.
Ooh.
And I mean, kind of a spoiler, but not really, because I'm very new in it. I just want those old men to be in love forever.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. That's like that
is, I've only watched first season, but that is the heart of the story.
Yeah.
For
me. I didn't know I needed Christopher Walken and John Turturro to just make out hard style in front of me. But like, I do.
Borderline Regency in it.
Yeah.
It's
truly one of the most beautiful love stories I've ever seen.
Yeah. Just like eyes, like fleeting, like, a touch of the pinky.
Oh, yeah, and they do it perfect. It's incredible.
Oh my god, heart melting.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at @teachmersme, at Caldy's Caldwell, at @extradsemily, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake. And Danielle, what are your socials?
On Instagram, the Pretty People website, as just Danielle_Radford. I'm not really on Twitter much, but it is probably
me
just
neither.
My name. It's like the one that looks like me. If she's talking about wrestling a bunch, it's me. If she's like offering to like give you or sell you like a laptop, that's probably
then it's me.
But if it's a laptop full of wrestling pay-per-views, then it could be Danielle.
Okay. Either way, and I think I'm just Danielle Radford. Bluesky.soch. Find all the ones. That look and sound like me.
Just use context.
Not hard.
I can't wait to buy crypto from you.
you can't wait to buy the rad coin.
shit, that could work.
Damn, actually, I really like rad coin.
Okay. Oh my god, it's down hard.
No way.
No,
we sank.
Dying.
We
no,
sank all down.
But I'm draining the ocean for it.
And you could talk about the show online by using #NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are youth of the nation. We are who we are. The youth of the nation.
It's the end of our show, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Stand now and receive your accolades. Brad D, Jeffrey S, Lord of the Fjord, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Jeff C, Daniel G, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Carpe Liam, Victor T, a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I, Danny Danster, TJ M, Trele the Cray, Christopher B, Damiel R, Jordan L, Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Targot, Stevie Wags, Hellish Rebuker PhD, Princess Yar, Jory S, Rachel from Animorphs, Jack L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, Mike H, Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Tyler F, Hadrian, Carborough Chapel Hill FPV, Rex Daniel the White, CC Lulu, Old Cobb's Dunkel, Older Burn, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Rayco, Calder Comes Cold, shout out to the Cold Cum Companions, Frosty Facial, Taylor B, maybe the real treasure was the friends we made along the way, and also that 12 platinum bar we found in Dracula's grave, Cass Strong Grinch, Steven J'aime le bière brune, C, Mike K, Nick W, William W, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Ananarama, Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klausowski de Rolo III, J Dragonborn, Guardian of the Vibe, Honoring the Cock, Jocelyn M, Ben A, Dave H, Dustin S, Danny F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfar's Assistant, Izzy F, Big Bad John, DPC is awesome. Hashtag honor the cock. Shown the shade tree mechanic of Zebeldar. Summer Rose, a.k.a. Grand Terre. Mark the Dark Lord's Taint. Cat C. Misa of House Inzunza. Ariel, the occasional mermaid. Selena N, a.k.a. Velociraptor. Be Perky Always. Pat L. Maxwell J. Lauren H. Serve 16. Annie, the Feywild Therapist. Connor S. Salil. BioQuirt 7. Amber, Dextrous. Beanrat was innocent. Drub Hopdropper. Jack Hubert, King of the Mole People under Iron Deep, dressed in blue and fighting his way through a bracket style tournament. Valen. Paj, the Bitch and Bunny Bard. Carlin C. Noah, the Bullywug Boy. Hashtag honor the cock. James G. Everything Bago, the Aladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey. Reverend Chatterbones. Han. Eric B. Marcos. Learns the Balance Druid. Frida M. Maggie. Holly, the Green Laughing Hyena. Akash T. Cal knows you're listening to Ricarda, comma, wink. Aaron B. Russell H. A monk named Dilgo. Yes, the whole thing. Yes, every time. Cody C. Cody Care. Lorelei the Succubi. And Kira the Succulent Snack. McKenna Stout. Your friendly neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid. John Adams. Didn't win the vote, but won your heart. Meg the Mail Carrier of Bohemia. James F. Austin S. Wayfarer. Now has to do something with the trolls. Get rid of them, turn to page 42. Keep them, turn to page 69. Shane C. Barpo Good Barrel Bard Barian. Welshlander. Garrett G. a.k.a. One Big Curd. Renee, the Monster Captain. Olivia, the Enchanting Bard. And Jared, the Soap Opera Cleric, who are playing Stick It to the Man, parentheses, Down with the Monarchy. Winter Slade. Fico. Garrett, the Artificer. Damon, son of that one merchant, you know, named John. Anthony, the raddest of dudes. Jay! The fairies have amended all their ways and are volunteering at their local petting zoo. That's so sweet. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian. Lexi loves the two crew. Love ye, Lexi. Roger L.
Nodrog, the pacifist barbarian.
Gene O.T. Gianluca. Tristan, the talentless hunk. Shenanigans O'Connor. Mios the Great. Joshua S. Alexander. Linz W. Johnny Dude K.
Pavu Escanor, the Goliath Paladin, providing service with a smile.
Tim M.
MLG Cheeto. Shell B, Kenna's first favorite sprite girl, celebrating turning 32 by seeing D20 at MSG dressing up as Sophia Lee. Snailus, who's infecting Worcester for within. Captain Morgan, pirate wizard. Meemaw Scaddies. Megan N. Anthony B. Savannah H. Balnor's best friend Steve. Stephanie of House Inzunza. Benjamin A. Gimli the Corgi, Papa and Foster's canine friend. Mikkel A. Josh Hole, pilot of the Nightmareverse flight. Throki. The two crew blew through. Jennery. Ethan the mailman. Maple the shy bookworm. Ashasaurus. Seth E. Billy Batson. Tori the tungsten dragoose. Michael L.S. the second. Carl B. Plumber of the realm. Dex Riddlewell. Hannah A. Ra. Ace Dregs. High Lord of Kritzberg. Darius Davis. The guy from that one thing. Troy's mom. Venn diagram. GKC. Teehee. Teehee. Cadmilius. The consumed. Bard of holding. Clinton P. Grinchful Cam. The Grinch Frogman. Dean. Jake W. Hi, mom. Tuesday Cross, the Choose Your Own Adventure Writer, not the porn star. Steve L. Tyler M. Alex G. Zibbidibakery. Nicole. Katarina C. Lady Jacqueline P. of Castle Whitestone. Greg W. wants the D20 truck nuts Jake thought up. Too bad, Greg, they're all mine. Baruch Thunderhelm, fifth generation Minotaur, working as an abandoned labyrinth tour guide. That is a noble profession, Baruch. Continue your work. And finally, Chupacabri. Ah, that is all of our elders. Thank you so, so much for all of your wonderful support. We appreciate you more than you'll ever know. That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you back here real soon. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.